text this morning, friends, is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What a wonderful verse. Friends, today or tomorrow, you will gather around a dinner table with family and perhaps some friends, and we will gather with thanksgiving in our hearts, because that's what we love doing. Thanksgiving Day is a perfect opportunity to transform our lives from those of sometimes grumbling and dissatisfaction to lives of joy and gratitude. God wants every one of us, friends, to be people of thanksgiving. Alan Perkins says, a thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different. And David went on to say in Psalm 118, verse 1, he tells us why. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Do you see that, friends? That's why we need to be thankful, because we serve a good God. His mercy endures forever. The New International Version says, his love endures forever. Have you heard of the entitlement mindset that has permeated Canadian society in almost every level? It comes as a result of receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it's a gift, we've come to expect it. The attitude is, you owe me. And while we've been blessed in a land of plenty, we've become complacent and perhaps unwilling to give thanks for anything we receive. You know, it's like a simple thing like at the post office. I rush ahead of people coming to open the door for them. And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, you get a little smile. Sometimes it's like, yeah, you better do that for me. It's like, I'm entitled, you owe me this. I'm entitled to have the door open for me. That's an attitude that we find coming across now. Perhaps you've heard of two friends who bumped into each other on a street one day. One of them looked forlorn. He looked sad and almost to the verge of tears. His friend asked, what has the world done to you, my old friend? The sad fellow said, well, let me tell you, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and he left me $40,000. The other man said, wow, that's a lot of money. He said, yeah, but 2 weeks ago, my cousin, whom I haven't even met, he died and he left me $85,000. Wow, sounds like you've been blessed. The sad fellow said, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited $250,000. Now, the other fellow was a bit confused. He said, then why are you so glum? And the sad fellow said, this week, nothing. I mean, how come? Entitled to it. That's the entitlement mentality. But many people in the world are not very good at saying thank you. There are some people who can't bring themselves to say thank you. And there are some people who are not very good at hearing it either. I was reading about a woman who boarded a really packed bus, and she was tired and she was carrying several parcels. And so a man stood up and offered her his seat. The woman was so surprised, she fainted. Later, she came around and said, thank you, and the man fainted. Everybody's like, come on, all right. Friends, God wants you and I to be thankful people. I'll say it again. You know, the Webster's Dictionary, I went on Google last night and checked it out. It defines the word thanksgiving as a formal public expression of thanks to God. Did you hear that? Thanksgiving is a formal public expression of thanks to God. In a sense, our English word thanksgiving is a modest expression. Do you know that the Hebrew word for thanksgiving, the Hebrew word for gratitude, is hodea? And it's the same word for confession. In other words, to offer thanks to God is to confess your dependence on Him. To offer thanks to God is to confess and acknowledge your need for His help. To say thank you to God is to confess and admit that your life is better because of Him. Amen. Today, friends, I want to share a little bit about some of the benefits of having a thankful heart or a grateful spirit. The first one is this: being a thankful person can increase your happiness. Most of us think that our happiness is determined by our circumstances, that our happiness is somehow dependent on how things are going in our lives. Things are going great, I'm happy. Things are going bad, I'm not happy. Do you see that? But you know what, friends? Our happiness is determined by attitude. Do you agree with that sentence? Our happiness is determined by our attitude. It is really how we see things. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Did you notice he didn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes? He didn't say rejoice in the Lord when the circumstances are right. He said rejoice in the Lord always. You may say, yeah, but hey, Keith, hang on now. It's easy for Brother Paul to come and say these things to us, right? But wait, you know when he wrote that? He was in prison waiting to be executed. Say what? Yes, he was about to die. But he was still grateful. He was still rejoicing in the Lord. He learned to thank God in everything he did. It was really his perspective on life. Listen how he described what his life was like in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, 9, and 10. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. You see that? He said, we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Friends, Paul's life was filled with difficulties and struggles and things that could cause him to complain and to whine and to go on, right? Of us would put up with what he went through. I was just reading today some of the things that he went through. He went through constant stress and struggles and persecution. He was beaten. He was lashed. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. But he still had a positive attitude. How many of us, if we go through those things that he went through, will we say, I'm quitting. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. He said in Philippians 4, verse 11, 12, and 13, he says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, and I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Friends, Paul learned the secret of not living life based on the conditions around him. He could be content in prison or he could be content at home. His happiness was not based on situations. It was based on his relationship with Jesus Christ. Did you hear that, friends? Paul is saying, I don't care what's happening around me. I've got all these scars, and man, it was sore when they hit me. And you know, when the snake came to bite me, and when I was floating around in the ocean there, just hoping that no shark or something comes and get me. He said, but I was happy, yeah? I was content because my happiness is not dependent on my surrounding and my situation and my circumstances. My happiness is dependent on my relationship with Jesus Christ. That makes a difference, friends. Do you see that? He knew he had all he needed in Jesus, for it was Christ that gave him the strength for life. God is saying to you and I this morning, friends, don't wait to be happy. Don't wait to be content. Don't postpone happiness until your situation changes or you have acquired a certain thing. He says, if you cannot be happy now, you will not be happy then. For happiness is not a matter of what you have or what situation you find yourself in. Happiness is a matter of who you are. Happiness is a matter of who you are and how you respond to life. Happiness is found within. And unless it's on the inside, all the things of the world on the outside will not make a difference. If you have been saying, well, you know what, Keith, I'll be happy when ... then you will never be happy. You know why? Because when that one condition is met, there's a dozen more waiting to take its place. If you cannot learn to be happy now, you will not learn to be happy in spite of how much you have or how much you have achieved. If you are not content with less, you will never be content with more. And sadly, there are many who live in a world of if only. You had it all the time. If only I had this, if only I had that, if only I did this, if only I did that, friends. That's not how the Bible wants us to live. That's not how the Bible says we need to live. That's not what God desires for each one of us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 8, I think it is, or 6 verse 6, 6 verse 6, he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Notice it does not say prosperity with contentment is great gain. Notice it doesn't say materialism with great gain, with contentment is great gain. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. And contentment comes from seeking God, not things, friends. Remember what Matthew 6 verse 33 said, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Our relationship with God is the source of contentment, then nothing else will take his place. Happiness, contentment, friends, is really determined by our perspective in life and not by our circumstances. We learn to be grateful people in spite or despite circumstances that will greatly improve our happiness. An author by the name of Robert E. Bruce, he describes the following incident. He said, while walking along a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His sweet voice was distinguishable even above the noise of the traffic. When I located him, I noticed he had no legs and was pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. Catching up with him, I said, "I want you to know, friend, that to hear singing from a person in your condition gives everyone else a lift." He answered with a grateful smile. When I stopped looking at what I had lost and began concentrating on all I had left, I found much for which to rejoice and be happy. Friends, gratitude increases your personal happiness. Secondly, being a thankful person can improve your witness for Jesus Christ. It can improve your witness for Jesus Christ. Do you want to hear an oxymoron? A sad, pathetic Christian. Having a noticeable countenance is thankful, of thankfulness and joy will make us better witnesses for Christ. I was looking at the faces of people when we were singing a song. This is what how it looked. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. No, that's all fine. You know, when Ellen and I, we had about 120 children in South Africa in our Sunday school, and we were the children's pastors. The little children used to come up and sing so cute. They used to squeeze their cheeks, right? And then the song, the words of the song was, "Don't have a face like a coffee pot. Coffee pots are tall and thin." And then the children used to put their hands like this and smile, right? And the next sentence says, "Do have a face like a teapot. Other souls for Jesus win." Do you see that, friends? What about this other song? "Smile a while and give your face a rest. Raise your hands to the one you love the best. Then shake hands with those around and greet them with a smile." That's how you are a witness for Christ. You know, if some people come to me and they want to share the gospel with me and they're looking all sad and pathetic, I'll say, "No, thank you. I don't want this good news if that's how you look with it." You know, there's some people, they are most negative, sour, mean-spirited, and ungrateful people. They act as if they've been baptized in vinegar and not the Holy Spirit. It's no wonder that some people want nothing to do with Christianity. Friends, when we are thankful, joyful, upbeat people, we attract the lost with the spirit of gratitude because the world is so dark and depressing and ungrateful as it is. They don't still need Christians to be that way. Have you looked at the world lately? People are discouraged. People are depressed. And we have something that they don't. We need to lighten up already. We need to be thankful. The joy of the Lord is our strength and it will improve our witness for Christ. Listen what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 verse 12. He reads, "Live such good lives among the pagans." Another version says, "Live such good lives among unbelieving neighbors." Why? "That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Isn't that important, friends? Living a life of thankfulness will attract the lost. Just give the people a free smile. And that preaches big sermons. Thirdly, being a thankful person will enhance your relationship with other people. Have you noticed how some married couples take each other for granted? Married couples are champions for this. They take each other for granted. I was reading this And let me tell you what it says. Someone described the first few years in a marriage. They said, during the first year, the husband seeing the wife has a cold says, "You don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I've arranged everything already. I know you don't like hospital food, but I am going to have meals catered in first year." During the second year, the husband says to the wife, "You don't look so good. I have called the doctor. Go and lay down. I will take care of the kids. The doctor will be right over." The third year, he says, "You know you're not looking so good today. When you are done feeding the kids and cleaning the kitchen, you ought to go and lay down." And in the fourth year, he says, "Would you quit walking around barking like a seal? You're going to make me sick too." That's just a joke. Listen, the point is taking each other for granted. Isn't that true? We should never take other people for granted. When you are thankful for them, it enhances your relationship. Friends, listen, can you imagine how your marriage will improve if you came home one day with some flowers and told your wife how thankful you are for all that she does? But, I see that hand. Now, when you tell her that, she might faint, but that's another story and another day. But I read a kind of a touching story. It was a letter to the editor of the Chicago Tribune. It was written by a man who had just buried his wife, and they were together for 40 years. In it, he said that after all the relatives had left, he had wandered around their house for a while, looking at the furnishing the two of them had bought together and remembering. He said, "I recalled 40 years of marriage, 40 years of companionship and happiness. We went through some hard times," he wrote, "but she never complained. Even when money was the tightest, she always had a good hot meal ready when I got home." Then he added, "But never one time do I remember saying thank you." His letter was published in the Chicago Tribune as an appeal to husbands and wives to turn to their spouse and say, "Thank you. Thank you for making my home. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my companion." Wives, just think about how much your marriage will improve if you told your husband how much you appreciate him. Now, he might faint, but that's another story. Now, on a serious note, children, I see all a lot of children here. Think how much better things will go in your home if you told your parents how grateful you are for the things they do for you. Just imagine, friends, how much better our relationship in the church would be if we express thanks for each other from time to time and not take each other for granted. Do you know how the Apostle Paul greeted and started most of his letters in the Bible? Now, they are not on the screen, but let me tell you. To the church in Rome, he wrote Romans 1 verse 8. "First, I thank my God for all of you." To the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. "I always thank God for you." To the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 1 verse 16. "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." To the church in Philippi, Philippians 1 verse 3. "I thank my God every time I remember you." To the church in Colossae, Colossians 1 verse 3. I always thank God when I pray for you. Paul made sure he let the people know in the churches that he was thankful for them. And friends, when we are thankful for each other, not taking each other for granted, friends, listen, we will enhance our relationships. Fourthly, being a grateful person will strengthen your relationship with God. This is the top benefit. Someone once said that God lives in two places. He lives in heaven and in a humble, thankful heart. There is something inside of us, friends, that needs to give thanks to God. I find that when I spend time thanking God for what I have, I feel so close to Him. I think that's exactly why our text says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's plan, friends. His will for us is to give Him thanks. He made us that way. Being a thankful person, let me just recap, will increase your personal happiness. Being a thankful person will improve your witness for Jesus Christ. Being a thankful person will enhance your relationship with others. Being a thankful person will strengthen your relationship with God. These are the benefits of a thankful person, a grateful spirit. But before we end, give me a few more minutes to briefly suggest ways to develop thanksgiving in our lives. Ways to develop thanksgiving in our lives. Firstly, start by remembering that everything we have is from God. Let me say that again. That everything we have is from God. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, this is David speaking. He said, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I was reading last night Haggai 2, verse 8. It's not on the screen. It says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50, verse 10. David says, for every beast of the forest is mine. This is God speaking. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 yields. You say, no, Keith, they're my cows. No. God owns everything. Amen. We better get that perspective, friends. We better grasp it. Everything we have is on loan to us from God. We are called stewards. You know what's a steward? A steward is a manager. We are asked to manage that which already belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I read a story about a poor man who was given a loaf of bread. He thanked the baker, but the baker said, don't thank me. Thank the miller who made the flour. So he thanked the miller, but the miller said, don't thank me. Thank the farmer who planted the wheat. So he thanked the farmer, but the farmer said, don't thank me. Thank the Lord. He gave the sunshine and the rain and the fertility of the soil, and that's why you have bread to eat. Do you get it, friends? Hey, you get that picture? Everything is the Lord's. And when you Remember that. You can't help but being thankful. You can't help but being thankful. Everything we own, we ultimately receive from God, and we owe him thanks. James 1, verse 17. James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, there's no change, shadow of turning. Remember, friends, to develop a grateful, thankful heart is to know that everything we have is from God. Secondly, we need to avoid complaining. Complaining. I told you the story before, and Dwight and I were walking through the jungles there on one island in the Philippines. And people were living in little bamboo places. I said, Dwight, please remind me of this the next time you hear me complain in Canada. Avoid complaining, friends. Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I have come to realize they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustrations, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc in our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77, verse 3 says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You see that, friends? Do you know a man went to a monastery? We stayed for 3 years at the monastery. They only allowed him to say 2 words a year. So at the end of the first year, he said, bed's hard. End of the second year, food cold. The end of the third year, I quit. To which the priest replied, well, it's no wonder. All you've done since you came here is to complain. Friends, complaining is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. The two cannot coexist in the same heart. Isn't that true? Don't complain, brother. Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Stop complaining already. Luckily, no one complains here. I heard a complaint. Whoa. One last thing to do to produce a spirit of thanksgiving, a heart of gratefulness, gratitude, is to develop a daily discipline of giving thanks. Hey? As soon as you open your eyes in the morning, oh, Lord, thank you, another day. Thank you for keeping me safe last night. Thank you for giving me health. We need to develop a discipline. It's a discipline, friends, of giving thanks. We need to start and give thanks every day, not just once a year. And I know none of us do that, but not just once a year on Thanksgiving Day. No, we need a discipline. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each day that we should be thankful for and express our thanks to God. I told you this joke a long time. Somebody in our church was saying, hey, man, it's terrible outside, man. It's minus 20. And he said, I'm thankful there's no mosquitoes. Ephesians, friends, 5, verse 19 and 20 says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always is the key word here. Giving thanks every day, friends. You know, I was reading Daniel chapter 6 last night. Daniel chapter 6, you've got to read that. It's quite a passage. The people were plotting against Daniel. They wanted to get him into trouble. I think it was Darius. King Darius or something. And they were planning to eventually get him thrown into the lion's den. Remember? But do you know what the Bible says? When you read chapter 6, you will find something very lovely. Daniel got on his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and gave thanks to his God. This is in the Bible, friends. No, you're not saying that, just kidding. So these people are plotting to get Daniel thrown in. And if you read Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, second part. And in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to his God. Isn't that something? Daniel knew that they had signed, the king had signed that, you know, people shouldn't pray to their God, but people must honor him. And so he signed that they can kill anybody who does it. And Daniel, he said, oh yeah, the king signed that thing. Okay, wait now. But wait, hang on. It's prayer time. It's time to pray. It's time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not thank you for my circumstances. No, they're terrible, the circumstances. But thank you for my relationship with you. You see that, friends? The song we're going to sing later says, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And the version we sing in South Africa, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Thanksgiving is a daily discipline. I want to conclude by saying there's always something to be thankful for. There's always something to be thankful for. Some children were asked to make a list of things for which they were thankful. A little boy couldn't seem to think of one thing. But finally he wrote, I thank you, Lord, for my glasses. They keep the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me. There's always something to be thankful for. Be thankful that you don't already have everything you want. If you did, what is there to look forward to? Be thankful that you don't know something. It gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times. Those times you grow. There's a song we sing, I thank God for the bad times, for without them I'll never know the good times. Be thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build character and strength in you. Be thankful for your mistakes, because it will teach you valuable lessons. Be thankful that you are tired and weary after a long day's work, because it means you've made a difference. It's easy to be thankful for good things, but I want to encourage you, friends, today, as hard as it may be, to thank God for the setbacks, to thank God for the hard times. As hard as it may be, find a way to thank God for your troubles, and they can become your blessing. As we live in a land of plenty, Canada is, I tell you, we've been to 27 countries, Canada's each man. Eh? Canada's each man. This is the best country. Right? We live in a land of plenty. It's my prayer that we will see things each day the way God has blessed us, and never take God or those things, those blessings, for granted. Friends, people who have been blessed beyond measure, and people who need to give thanks to the giver of all good gifts is you and I. When I was a teenager, I became a Christian when I was a young fellow. I was about 13 or 14. And we used to listen to a singer from the States named Andre Crouch. Remember Andre Crouch? Oh, fantastic. He sang a song called My Tribute. But don't panic, I won't sing. Here are the words, it says. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. And then the chorus says, to God be the glory for the things he has done. Friends, listen. As we go from here today, I know you're a thankful group of people, but let's be thankful every day. Amen. There are a lot of benefits. A benefit is a blessing. There are a lot of blessings. We have been speaking about the beatitudes, the blessings of the Lord on our lives. And this one, though it's not part of that series, I had to share about it. We will continue with the other, one more beatitude next week or so. God bless you.